When you walk through the garden.
I'm talking with Bob Wisdom as we continue our conversation about The Wire. He was the actor who played Major Bunny Colvin, the man who created Hamsterdam. So, Bob, how did you get into The Wire? How did that start?
Well, initially I went up for, when the show was first casting, I went up, I think, for Stringer and then Bunk.
Huh.
And, you know, I had my whole idea on Stringer and whatnot, but the great Idris Elba went on to, like, really nail that part. But so I didn't get in when the show was first cast, and then I was doing the movie Ray, and my manager got a call from David and the casting people at HBO, and they said they wanted to offer a part in the show. And the first year, I sort of didn't really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what happens to actors. You know, if you don't get a part, it's like, well, it ain't gonna be that good. So, what happened was I started watching the second season, and it blew my mind. And I loved the second season. So when that call came through, I was like, I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in the midst of watching it. Actually, it was on the air at that point. So I went in, and it all worked out. And I got this, I didn't realize what that character was at that point, because it was introduced at the end of season two. And, you know, there were a few scenes, but it was like so, it felt so slim that I couldn't really tell what it was doing. And of course, I didn't know what the next year was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was this guy who was just kind of looking at the way that we were managing drug busts on the streets, and I was around the project, and it was just seemed like, you know, more of the same, more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the character was barely spoke, but when you look back at it, it framed the entire journey in the third year. So it was an amazing few scenes, and that's how it happened.
What was the origin of the idea of Hamsterdam and creating a zone in Baltimore where drugs would be pretty much legalized, and how much a part did you play in creating that character in that whole world?
Well, I can't take any credit for creation, because that's the David Simon machine.
Uh-huh.
Mayor Smoot had broached this subject, you know, one of the few mayors to ever say it out loud, and was roundly, you know, applauded off the stage.
But
the idea, if you look at the idea has certain merits. You know, how you manage it is a whole other thing, as we found out while we were in it. But, you know, you're not going to remove drugs. What we're doing with, you know, the kinds of crimes that are created around it, you know, doesn't serve the overall. And, you know, the whole thing that Bunny was talking about was policing, you know, just good police work. We were just getting farther away from good police work. And that's something that Ed Burns knows about as well. So, you know, they basically took this idea that had been mentioned, and in a sense, you know, experimented with in Amsterdam and other places, but on U.S. territory never, and because it's just too political, as we found out, too political to charge. But the character, the nature of the character, I kind of took and ran in my own direction. You know, I tried to make Bunny, you know, he'd been on the police force 29 years. He was coming up on his retirement, you know, and that's a point where you're not taking any risk.
Mm-hmm.
What he found was he could leave and just be another picture on the wall, or he could look at the situation and speak out. You know, it's just a whole thing of truth to power, and it really brought out his real mettle. You know, the last days, he was just looking at the way policing had changed, and the way that we manipulate numbers to get public support and political support, and it just became a sham, and he realized he was part of a sham machine, and didn't want it anymore.
And your character, and that's one of the things about the Ed Burns and David Simon and the characters that they created, and this whole question of speaking truth to power, but also of creating men and women who have honor and integrity, whether they are cops or whether they're drug dealers or kids on the street or teachers, whoever they are. There are these two bodies of people, ones with little or no integrity who sell out their lives just to get by and get along, go along, or to get more, and those with integrity. And your character was one of those that kind of was emblematic of the integrity and actually, like some of the others did not, survived.
Yeah, and that's you know, for 3 years we kind of, for the first 4 years, it just seemed like nobody could really put their finger on where the hope was. The critics of the show, you know, used that as you often run across people. And usually middle class black folk who say, I can't stand that show because we already know what the problems are, you know. Mm-hmm. And you hear that and you say, but when you look at that show, it's so soaked in how hope is created, you know. I mean, it shows so clearly the values of the crooks and the cops, the values of the government and, you know, and how they're similar and how out of that, you have to have a phoenix, you know, of some sort. Now, it might be short-lived, you know, but there are people who will step up, whether they're community people. You often heard, whenever there was a community gathering, you heard the truth mm-hmm. from those people's mouths. You know, whenever there was a church meeting or some kind of meeting, the people who were speaking out were speaking dead on what the right thing was to do. And that's what marked the show. And then you had all of these characters circling around and figuring out how they're going to, what choices they're going to make. And, you know, Bunny was, he was weary, you know. He was tired, and I played him in a way that was just, you know, just a weary guy, you mm-hmm. know. Like he had seen it all. But there was just going to be one moment when he was going to see something differently. And when he saw it, when that moment came, he responded like a young cop. And that's the integrity. You know, that's what I was really proud of the character. You know, it was just, in spite of doing something, you know, against the policy, everybody was rooting for it to work. And he got caught up in it as well. He thought that this thing could work. And when it got out of hand and there were no funds to, like, manage it, then it got a little, it was like a Titanic. But, you know, the fact is that if there was just a little bit of vision, a major problem could have been redirected, you know. And that's where, you know, we have integrity and we have political will. And we saw where political will is lacking. In that year, anyway.
Bob Wisdom played Major Bunny Colvin on The Wire, on the special podcast. He's with us now. And one of the things that you said to me when you were shooting The Wire in Baltimore was that there was never anywhere that you can remember such a collection of great black actors in one place at one time working together.
We can go through television and film history. And the closest you have in film was probably Glory that comes to mind recently.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of week-to-week showing up and seeing three-dimensional, fully fleshed-out human beings who happen to be black, played by, you know, a collection of some of the greatest actors, not black actors in this country, it's never happened. And people watch this show and you don't even see color.
Mm-hmm.
You see your issues, you know, you see your choices, you know, and that's how great this pool is, and that's what's neglected by the industry. I was reading some review about the finale last this year's finale, actually. And the writer said, you know, it's a shame that these will be the greatest parts some of these actors will ever get. And then they'll, you know, just go back down into the firmament. And unfortunately, that's true. You know, there's not enough to absorb. I mean, every actor of color in this country that I ever met wanted to be part of this show. I mean, it was a magnet. They, you know, they said, man, I want to be on that show, because everybody saw you were doing something way different. Now, there are great actors on ER. There are great actors on, you know, a lot of network shows. But they're in that slot, you know, of the black character.
Mm-hmm.
The imagination of those writers are limited by their experience. Here, the writers had a huge body of experience and dedication to something greater, which was a city. And the character, the overarching character of the whole thing was Baltimore. And so, you know, if you had somebody who was familiar with the nature of urban life, you can write, that's why Dickens comes up all the time, you know, because, you know, it's, you just can't run out of characters, you know, and they never ran out of colorful, strong, brilliant and characters that serve the story and not a plot. And then you just go out and you can find the greatest actors to fill it. I mean, you get Isaiah, who played Clay Davis.
Right, right.
Oh, my
right.
God. You know, I mean, just nailed that character all over
right,
the place.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
Chad Coleman, who made something out of Cuddy, you know, that you know, who would do that? And, you know, of course, Andre Royo, amazing, you know.
He's an amazing actor. Yes, he is.
You know, I mean, it's just all of that. And, I mean, I could name check everybody down the list. And the kids in the fourth year, you know, where you had, you know, taking on. I mean, these kids handled a charged, huge storyline and dissents. Their characters made dissents. It wasn't the normal, you know, do-gooder kind of stuff that you see on most shows. These kids went into the depths of hell and then made their choices, and we watched them do it. And because they did it with such clarity, that was an amazing season. The fourth season was an amazing season in the schools, and there are a lot of kids who were playing, you know, students that I worked with, and they were just as sharp and bright. So, you know, it's an America that we want to see. It's an industry that I would love to have the industry see what the real potential of real writing could be and what America might be willing to accept. But again, you look at it, I mean, I might jump to your next question. How many people watch this show
right.
on a weekly basis?
Right.
Right. They don't want to see black folks up there. They don't get it, you know. It becomes, you know, for the narrow-minded, a black show.
But the shocking thing was, though, it is, for the narrow-minded, but let's say the industry had even nominated anybody in The Wire for an Emmy, writers,
right.
producers, actors, whoever.
Right.
But not one. It
not one.
Blew my mind.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like you got to wonder, because you know these things. You know, that's a trade show. You know, it's like your network can put you up and push you. And I just don't get it. You know, I don't get it. I mean, even if, you know, in the old days, it was just tokenism. You would take one, you know. And we didn't even get tokenism played on our part, man. You know, so we were really in the back seat, you know. Meanwhile, you know, other shows came and went, you know, and they walked away with slew of awards, and they, you know, dealt with their storylines. But I consistently to this day, I'll put us pound for pound up against anybody. You know, the actors that I came across in that show are some of the finest in the country. But that's what we do. We're actors, you know, and it really clarifies for the individual that it ain't about awards. This was an opportunity that probably lightning struck, and you know, I'm just very happy to be a part of it and have it go down in history as the greatest show ever on television.
Amen. And I'm sorry you're not back in Baltimore.
I know, that's the thing. You know, it becomes your home, and it is like, wait a minute, I'm not there anymore, you know.
All right, bro. Thank you so much, Bob.
Hey, man. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
You're listening to a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. Engineering assistance from Liz Buckle. And thanks to Clean Cut Sound Design for our studio space. To hear more and learn more, visit us on the web at marksteinerblog.wordpress.com. And from the Center for Emerging Media, I'm Mark Steiner.